Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud. So Mishnah Yud and Mishnah Yud Aleph that we'll conclude the Perek with today is actually a continuation from the very end of our last Mishnah, Mishnah Tess. So we had left off, we're talking about the Seir Lashem and the Seir LaAzazel, whereby they had this wooden chest, and they would take out these two tickets, and the tickets were made out of Eshkaroa wood, and then Ben Gamla, Yehoshua ben Gamla made them out of gold, and it was praiseworthy what he did. He was praised for doing this, you know, beautiful act of making these, you know, lottery tickets out of gold instead of wood. So now Mishnah Yud and Mishnah Yud Aleph are going to go through various people and various families that did things that either they were praised for or that they were actually, unfortunately, disgraced for. And then in the next parak we'll get back into the theme of what they would do with these two goats. So here we go. Mishnah Yud. Ben Katan. Ben Katan was a Kohen Gadol. Asa Shneim Asar Dad. He made 12 Dad, 12 faucets. Lakir for the basin that was in the base of Mikdash, that the Kohanim would rinse their hands and their feet from. Shlohayulo Elishnayim. Because initially all it had was two faucets. Okay? And he went ahead and he made 12. The Gemara explains that what was the reason why he made 12? Because when the Kohanim were being Osik in the Karban Tamid, there were 12 Kohanim being Osik in the Karban Tamid, like we mentioned in Parak Beis. And they'd be washing their hands and their feet. So instead of having 12 Kohanim wait in line for two faucets, he made 12 faucets so they could all wash at the same time. So it was a great, great idea. And the truth is, really, there were 13 Kohanim during the Karban Tamid offering. But one of them was just the Shochet, was the one shechting it. And the shechting one, the one that's shechting it, doesn't have to rinse his hands and his feet. Not only that, even a regular Yisrael could do the actual Shechita part of it. So therefore, all he had to do was make 12. And even with a group of 13, like the Karban Tamid, one was the Shechter, he didn't have to wash his hands and feet. Everyone else did. Instead of waiting online for two faucets, they had 12 faucets to do it all at the same time. V'yapu, and also Ben Katan, he made Asa Muchni L'Kior. He made a Muchni for the Kior. Muchni is like this this galgal shal eitz, this wooden wheel that they made for the Kior, for the basin. Shal yiyu meim of nesalim belina. So that the water shouldn't become invalid from lina. So what does this mean? It means like this. The Kior, the basin, was a kli sharis. It was a kli that was sharis that served in the basin mikdash. And the rule was, is that anything that's miskadesh, that is holy, it serves in the basin mikdash, that if water is in that kli, in that utensil, overnight, it becomes puzzle because of lina. It means it becomes invalid for lina means the night. Meaning if you have water lying around and you leave it out overnight, in the base of Mikdash, it becomes possible, it becomes invalid. Special rule called lina. You can't leave water unattended overnight. That's the rule. So what happened was that they had this kior, this basin filled with water, right? It was a kli sharis that served in the base of Mikdash. So every morning they would, you know, spill out all the water and start all over again, because every night the water would sit there and it would become invalid because it rested in a kli sharis throughout the night. It rested in a utensil being served in the base of Mikdash throughout the night. So what he did was he created this wheel system where they were able to lift up the entire kior, the entire basin, and deposit it into a pit of water. And once it's sitting in a pit of water, it connects with the water in the pit. And now it doesn't become invalid because of lina. So also it was a great idea to make this wheel system that'll lift up the whole basin, deposit it in a pit with water so that the water in the basin connects with the water of the pit and therefore won't become invalid from lina. And, you know, from going through a night, you know, sitting in the base of Mikdash. And then the next morning, they would just lift up the basin out of the pit and then just use it. They didn't have to start filling it up and emptying it out every single time. Munbaz HaMelech, King Munbaz of Chidayov. Chidayov is a province in the north of Aram Naharayim. He became a convert along with his mother Hilni, the queen, several decades before the Chorb and the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. So this King Munbaz, he made all the handles of the utensils in the base of Mikdash, Shel Yom HaKippurim, that were served on Yom Kippur, Shel Zav, of gold. Meaning what we're talking about over here is that there are certain utensils that you can't make them out of gold. For example, a knife, right? You have to have a regular blade. An axe, you have to have an axe blade. So the handles of these types of utensils, he made the handles out of gold. So he was praised for that. Hilni Imo, Hilni his mother, Asa Nevresha Shel Zahav, Apischo Shel Hechel. She made this golden candlestick. The Gemara explains that when the sun would shine in the morning, so when the sun comes up, it's time to say Shema, right? You say Shema in the morning. Zman Kriya Shema, the time to say Shema is in the morning. So this candle would stand like on top of the Heichal, okay, the entrance to the Heichal, and when the sun would come out, it would reflect off of this candle, this golden candle, and the reflection would start dancing, you know, all over the place, and all the people of Yerushalayim would know, oh, it's time to recite Kriya Shema, because it's Netzach Ham, the sun is rising. So she made this golden candle that was placed by the entrance of the Heichal, so that the sun would reflect off of it and give people the symbol that it's time to recite Shema. Va'afhi, and also Queen Helene, Asa Tavla Shel Zahav, she made a golden plate. She Parsha Sota Ksuva Allah, that the Parsha of Sota was written on it, meaning when there's a Sota, right, a Kohen has to write a Megillah, Klaf, a parchment of the Sota Parsha, like it says in the Torah, because Safta, you should write it. So they would have to copy it from an actual Sefer Torah. So she made this golden plate that had the parsha on it, so you don't have to bring a whole entire Torah to start copying from it. They just look at the golden plate and copy it onto the cloth, onto the parchment that they would put into the water to drink to the sota, instead of having to schlep the whole Sefer Torah and copy it from the Torah. So she made this golden plate that the parsha of the sota was written on it. And Nicanor, Nasu Nisim with El Sosav. So Nicanor, the Gemara explains that he had miracles with the doors. What does that mean? So Nicanor went to Alexandria of Egypt to bring doors for the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. And he had made there two wooden doors out of cypress wood, plated with copper, and they were very, very precious doors. And when he came back with the doors in a boat, so a big, typhoon, a big storm came and threatened to drown, you know, to sink the whole boat with all the sailors. So what they did was they took one of the doors and they threw it into the ocean in order to lighten the load. And then the storm kept on going. And then they decided that, you know what, let's throw in the other door. And Nicanor said no. He grabbed onto the door with his arms and he said, if you're going to throw in the door, you're going to throw me in also. And immediately when he said that, the storm stopped. So it was a big miracle. Nevertheless, Nicanor was in pain that he lost one door. But when they came to the port of Akko, the door that was actually thrown into the Yam popped out from under the boat. It was a miracle. So these doors, they actually placed it at the eastern gate of the Azara, Keneged, opposite the entrance to the Heichal. And they were doors that had miracles happen to them. In fact, the Gemara explains that all the doors of the gates of the Beis HaMikdash actually were changed when they were changed to gold. So they were all changed except for the gate of Nicanor, because this miracle happened to them. So this was what Nicanor's contribution was. So that being said, all these people in the Mishnah, all these people in the Mishnah, we remember them, we mention them with shvach for praise, because they made tremendous contributions to the Beis HaMikdash. So Mishnah Yud is adding to what we said in Mishnah Tess, that Ben Gamla had made the lottery tickets for the goats out of gold, and then all these people in the Mishnah gave all their various contributions, and therefore they're also remembered to be praiseworthy. Mishnah Yud Aleph now is the contrast. We list a whole bunch of people that actually did, you know, bad things, and therefore we say the pasuk of Vishim Risham Yerkav, the name of the wicked should rot, and they're just mentioned in disgrace, unfortunately. So let's begin Mishnah Yud Aleph. V'elu, and these are the people that are mentioned, Lignai, is in a scornful way, shall base Garmu, the family of base Garmu, lo rasu lalamid al masa lechem apanim, they did not want to teach how they made the lechem apanim. Lechem apanim was made in the breads were made in like the shape of like a box, a special kind of box. And it was a whole, you know, chachma in order to know how to do it. And they were the only ones that knew how to do it. And they have to bake it, and then you have to remove it from the oven and make sure it doesn't break and make sure it doesn't get, you know, moldy. And they knew this special, you know, this special craft, and they didn't teach it to anybody. Next, Shel Beis Avtinas, the family of Beis Avtinas, Lo Ratzu Lamed Al Ma'asek HaKtoras. They didn't want to teach how to do the Ktoras. So these people of the family of Beis Avtinas, they knew there was a certain type of grass that was called Ma'aleh Ashan. What did this grass do? They would mix this grass into the spices of the Ktoras, and by doing so, the smoke that would come up from the Ktoras, it would go up like a perfect stick, like in the air. It wouldn't, you know, go in the to the right, to the left, wouldn't become into like, you know, a big puffy cloud. It literally went up like a stick into the air. So it was a special chachma to use this grass to make this smoke just go like a pillar straight up you know, going straight up. And they didn't want to teach anybody how to do this, how to find this grass. Hugaras ben Levi, Hugaras, the son of, was ben Levi, he was, Shoheim Emunah, he was appointed over, he was like the one appointed in charge of the shir, the singing, the choir, the Beis HaMikdash. Hugaras ben Levi, Hugaras, the son of Levi. Hayudea Perek Bashir, he knew how to use his voice to make a very, very special music. The Gemara explains that he would raise his voice in a pleasant tone. He would put his thumb into his mouth and his fingers in between his mustache, and he'd produce some kind of musical sound that was so strong that his brother, you know, the fellow Kahana that were nearby him, were startled and staggered backwards. Some kind of special music he was able to make. And again, Velo Ratzu Lami, he didn't want to teach his craft to anybody. Ben Kamtzar, the son of Kamtzar, Ben Kamtzar, the Ratzu Lami, the Maisei Aksav, he didn't want to teach how to do this Maisei Aksav. So he knew how to take four kolmasim, four quills, put it in between his five fingers, and write the Kosev Teva Shal Arba Osios, write a word that contains four letters in one shot. So let's say he's writing the word, Etzba, Aleph, Tzadi, Beis, Ayin, right? The word finger. So he could put these four quills in between his fingers, and then in one shot, he'd be able to write the whole word, all four letters, in one go. It was a special chachma. He didn't want to teach it to anybody. So Al Rishonim, over the first group that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, Ben Gamla, Ben Katin, Munbaz, King Munbaz, Hilni the Queen, Nicanor, we say Ne'amar the Pasuk, Zecher, Tzadik, Lavracha, let us remember these righteous people, that it should be a blessing. But Val Elu, by the people of this Mishnah, Beis Garmu, Beis Avtinas, Hugras Ben Levi, and Ben Kamtzar, Ne'amar the Pasuk has said, V'shem Risham Yerkav, the name of the wicked should rot. Excuse me, that they shouldn't be mentioned at all, they should only, you know, be remembered as a disgrace. And the Gemara explains, the truth is that Beis Garmu and Beis Avtinas, they actually gave Nasnu Tam Chacham, they gave a reason for saying why they didn't want to teach their craft. Because they didn't want, right, Beis Garmu, they're the ones that didn't want to teach how to make the Lechem upon him, and Beis Avtinas, they didn't want to teach how to make the Ketores. Why? Because they reasoned, if we teach people how to do this, they'll use it for Avodah Zarah, they'll use it for idol worship. Therefore, we don't want to teach it. So these two people, these two families meant well. But nevertheless, the Mishnah is telling us that the Chachamim did not agree with their reasoning. And therefore, what they did was really wicked. And therefore, they're also included in this group to be remembered as a disgrace, unfortunately. And that concludes Mishnah Yud Aleph and Perek Gimel.